There we go. I think I locked the mic. I imagine you can hear me. Thank you, Ken. I appreciate that. And thank you, Regina. Always plenty to chew on there with Ramana Maharshi. It's funny because there's much of it that I feel like I can really resonate with, and it's helpful. And then there's others where I just know I'm just not at that stage yet, where it is, it plays out for me in a real, real way. So, but I find I listen with, you know, with kind of a keen interest, but it's just a whole different level that sometimes that he's speaking. So I appreciate knowing that I don't know and having that just be fine. So, so if I could, I was going to start tonight, like I always like to start, which is, with a prayer from NTI Matthew. When I'm you know, doing NTI with everyone else in Gentle Healing, it's the first time I really studied it. And this was the first time in NTI where there was a prayer, and I was so happy that there was a prayer in NTI. I didn't know that. And so it just stayed with me, and it's always just a lovely way for me to start to just kind of remind me of what they want me to not remember. If you would pray with me. Father, let me know you. Let your kingdom dawn upon my mind, that I may be led by your will and become as one with it. Let me hear your word within my mind. Let my lessons be given me, that I may be closer to you through the actions of my day. Let me forgive myself as I know you have. Let me see my brothers as innocent as they truly are. Let us watch our minds for evil thoughts that would trick and blind us to the light within. And let us let those thoughts go so they may not cloud our minds from knowing the truth. Amen. For the kingdom and the power and the... Okay, so I thought what I would do is I've been sharing from my journal, and you know, so I had a good week, and then you know, it just only takes a minute, right? It's like that song, "It Only Takes a Minute, Girl." So it only takes a minute, but I this past Thursday, I share custody I have two sons. I share custody with their other mom. We have a week at a time. So you know, it was Thursday, and Friday's the switch day. So I was texting my son on Thursday to say, "Hey, what's the plan for tomorrow?" Because he plays soccer and there's practice, and I never really know when he wants to get picked up. And you know, I'd gone to the grocery store and I got some stuff ready, and he writes back, "Nah, I decided to stay at mom's for the weekend." And oh my God, so here I've been contemplating and meditating, and all of a sudden it's like, choom, like abrupt stop. Oh my God. I could just feel like the peace, it was just gone. It was just like poof, like someone just blew all the candles out and it was just darkness. And I just got real tight and I didn't know what to text back. And I knew very clearly the answer was to text nothing back, to just go breathe. But alas, I didn't do that. Oh, I just kept going and going. And so I shouldn't say going and going. I texted back and said, and then so he wrote back and let me know that that's what he had decided. And I knew to accept it. I knew to accept it, but I certainly didn't. I was just thrown off completely on how to accept this, you know. And I had just taken the vow, like we all took the vow to either be, you know, to live in gratitude or live in love or acceptance. And I thought, oh my God, I can't be grateful for this. I'm not grateful for this. And so I walked my dog, and I thought, you know, and I just had this moment of just real sharp doubt. Like, yeah, all this spiritual stuff is great until this kind of shit happens. And then it's like, what, you know, what do you do? What do you do when you're just so tight And I just felt so sad, and it was like a bunch of feelings. And then on top of it, I could also sense that I was judging myself for, I don't know what, this bizarre, expectation maybe I had in my head that I could just say, oh, okay, that's great, honey. And you know, that's a silly thing too, to play that game. So luckily, about halfway through the walk, I thought, oh gosh, it's one of those times, maybe I should journal, maybe I should go inner wisdom, maybe I should just really give this up. And while that may be an obvious step for many people, for some reason, it just didn't occur to me for a while. And then when it did, I have to tell you, there was some odd resistance. Like, no, this isn't one of those inner wisdom things. This isn't just one of those, like, thought of awakening, like your little spiritual hobby thing or whatever that is. This really sucks. This is real. You should really do something about this. And I could see my mind wanting to carve out an exception that all this, quote, spiritual stuff is fine. When it comes to just when you're already feeling good and you want to feel better and connected, but somehow real life was in some different category, and that needed to be suffered through and sweated out and insisted on having my way. And while I knew that wasn't true, I didn't know how to get there. So usually what I would do is come back in and immediately just go to bed and just take a nap. And I mean, maybe even just sleep for hours and hours and hours, maybe sleep the rest of the night and just go unconscious and just, I used to have much less healthy ways to deal with when I was feeling stressed and unhappy, but that's kind of the remaining go-to just unconsciousness, which, there are worse things people can do. But for some reason on Thursday, I really decided to come back in and sit down at the counter and just get out my journal. And the thought of awakening on Thursday was, I'll read the thought of awakening. It was, what the spirit knows, the mind forgets. One who listens to mind forgets also. One who listens to spirit knows. Be still today and know. Trust your knowing, even as the mind moves to forget. And so I thought, fine. I can't say, well, I saw I didn't have like a wide open heart thinking I'm going to get anything. I think it was more like a dare. Like I was so skeptical and I thought, fine, I'm going to give this a try. But I sat down and oftentimes I can compose a somewhat thoughtful question, get in touch with what's going on and really kind of tee up the ball. But Thursday, I was just achy. I was just achy. I should say, so I have two sons. One just went back to college the week before. And it's just, how if you have kids and they come home for the summer, it's just so fun to have them in the house. And so he had gone back and I really thought I'd hit the skids there in terms of being sad, but I had done well. I just kind of stayed in my practice and didn't buy into the stories. But it was a week later. So I kind of, part of me felt like I gutted out that week because my other son went back to his other house. And I thought, okay, I've made it through that week. Like I kind of served my sentence, and now I get a kid back, at least one of them. So I was definitely feeling sorry for myself and kind of just lost in the, just being triggered like crazy and not even being clear why. So what I wrote in inner, I wrote to, in inner wisdom, how I posed the question was, what does spirit know? What does mind forget? And that was it. That was all I was going to give it. Okay. Cause that was from the thought of awakening. And this is what came from inner wisdom. To my pithy, very pithy question, what does spirit know? What does mind forget? You tap into what spirit knows by listening, not by asking. While this is certainly a good first step, the asking, it is not what allows you to steep yourself like a thirsty tea bag in the boiling hot water of wisdom. To allow it in, to really feel into what spirit wants to reveal, you must open. You must still yourself. Much like remembering to ask is a good first step, stilling the body physically is also a helpful initial move. But this, too, is merely the initiation, the opening move in a chess game. To truly allow the flow of spirit, you must go within, recall your purpose, your motive. And my purpose has been to be the presence of love and nothing else. And then I've added to that lately so that I may experience the truth of what I am. So it said, to truly allow the flow of spirit, you must go within, recall your purpose, your motive, to be the presence of love and nothing else, so that you experience the truth of what you are. Allow that to take root in your heart. Relax your mind, just as you relax your shoulders and allow your breathing to deepen. Step back from the activity of the day, the myriad thoughts in the mind, the reactions which may have settled into the body. Feel your heart open, expanding a bit more with every breath. Slow and deliberately, you ease yourself down into stillness, into peace. This is not an attempt to get somewhere, to get some answer. It is the process whereby you embody the question, where you embrace the state of not knowing. Allow this burgeoning sense of emptiness to take root. Hold on to nothing. Allow it all to rise up from you, up, up into the heavens. This state of emptiness, of no thing, this is the state you must, I guess I can't read my handwriting. This is the state you must desire to create, learn to crave, yearn to inhabit. So I'll read this again. This state of emptiness, of no thing, this is the state you must desire to create, learn to crave, yearn to inhabit. Now you can see that when you wrote, quote, what does spirit know? What does mind forget? You were asking from your head. From an impatient, let me complete this task of contemplation as I'm already a day behind and I need to be a good spiritual student and I feel like crap. Can you see the difference in the place from which you ask? Can you allow yourself to feel it? And I was clearly prompted at that point to stop writing and just sit and close my eyes and breathe and just stay there. And that's what I did. And I could feel the heat kind of burning off a little bit. I still felt sad. I still felt tight. I still felt, you know, I still felt like I was blaming myself a little bit for writing back to him before I felt real clear. But I could definitely feel kind of an influx of some spaciousness that allowed me some literal breathing room, but also just allowed me some detachment from feeling like this was all so real and all so important and all so hard. So it goes on. You can see clearly now that you were embedded within the identity of a body, a person in the world, with things to do and contemplations to complete. You can surely see that the thinking mind was running that show. Look closely at the two states side by side. Your initial state was characterized by impatience, hurried, let's get to it energy, reminiscent of the fixing energy you have learned well to identify. The premise in that state is something is amiss, wrong, in need of correction by you, the person, the doer, the fixer. While the resistance embedded in such a state may have been indetectable in the past, you are becoming more adroit at feeling the stab of that lack of peace and recognizing that that is not what you want. And that word stab has been so helpful for me from NTI, from our readings, because it really is a stab. Especially when I can establish some level of peace. First, I'm just so grateful that I'm not just numb anymore and not perpetually trying to get myself numb again. So I'm actually grateful. I truly am grateful when I feel the stab that A, I feel it, so I'm not numb. B, I have words for it. C, I was having peace from which the stab was detectable. And then D, I'm not so scared of the stab that I just immediately reach for the next habit that will get me distracted or numb again. Just being willing to know it's a stab and feel it's a stab and just sit with it. I just have enormous gratitude for. There is such a freedom in not being scared of feeling scared and not feeling scared about feeling bad, knowing that feeling bad is just a feeling. And if I sit with it, invariably I can uncover a story. And if I allow the story to come into my conscious awareness, I can identify individual thoughts that then I can look at and decide I don't want them. I can discern between truth and illusion. And even if I'm still caught up in the feeling in my body, or and I can kind of feel being triggered even in my mind, it just wakes up some little part of me that sits way in the back and goes, you know, this isn't true. And there's even if just a little bit of me doesn't believe it, it just shifts the entire endeavor from one where I am cognizant that this is a useful practice versus what it used to be, which is if this is darkness, it's going to just lead to more darkness, and I just need to get the heck out of here, run for the hills, and just pack it up and just become unconscious in whatever way I can get to. So I am super, super grateful that I can even recognize a stab as a stab. So back to the message. While the resistance embedded in such a state may have been indetectable in the past, you are becoming more adroit at feeling the stab of that lack of peace and recognizing that is not what you want. Moreover, you knew intuitively that such a state is the antithesis of allowing, of letting go, of flow, of trust, of peace, of ease. So now we return to your query. What does spirit know? What does mind forget? Let's look at this in light of your most current upset, the text exchange you just had with Tom, my 16-year-old son. When you, I forgot this got so specific. Okay, here we go. When you inquired into the plan for tonight, i.e. what time he wanted to be picked up, you were already uneasy, a bit anxious about the response you would receive. When he responded that he didn't want to be picked up at all, instead wanted to spend the weekend at his other mom's house, your whole body clenched. You could feel the, quote, I am rejected, I am worthless, I am hurt feeling well up in you. I did. Oh my God, I got to tell you, it just came up to my throat. It came from my throat. The heat came into my face so quick, I didn't even realize it was moving. This is true. This is all very true. I continue with the message. When you received guidance that you were straying into ego, you noted that, but continued texting, knowing that in that state of constriction, it may well feel worse. That is true too. When you then read that, I forgot. Great, the mind does forget some useful things. When you then read that, given it was Labor Day, it wasn't even going to be Sunday night, I had texted him and I said, okay, so you want to stay the weekend, when should I get you Sunday night? He then texted back, it's so funny I forgot this, texted back, well, you know, Monday's Labor Day, and Mom says it's her Labor Day, and so I'll see you Tuesday. So we went from, you know, seeing him that night to I'll see you Tuesday. And that was just part of the good. So the message says, when you then read that given Labor Day is Monday, he was asking to be picked up on Tuesday evening, you clenched even further. Again, guidance was offered to step away and take some breaths, but you listened to the thought in your head which said, You might as well nail this down now. Just keep texting until this is over and you have a plan. Which is true. It was really clear. I knew I should just put that phone down and walk away. But there was that thought in my head that said, this is really painful. Just get the pain over with. Just keep going. Just end it. Just get the plan. So the thought in the head was, this is so scary. Keep, you know, continuing in the morass of the fear, in some hope that ending soon is somehow the, you know, the goal. The goal is just to end it. Like, it's so fearful. Just keep doing it to end it. There was just no discernment about how, if I step away, maybe it doesn't have to keep being so painful. Maybe, you know, it isn't just about ending it. It isn't just about making a plan. Maybe it's about being present the whole time. But I just wasn't able to hear any of that. I heard the guidance very clear that said, you don't want to continue communicating right now. Step away. And I heard very clear the thought that says, no, no, you want to stay in this. You just want to, you know, just nail this down one way or the other. And I did not listen to guidance. I was hooked and I just stayed in it. Now, the good thing was I didn't, you know, the texts were very short and they were kind of clarifying. So I didn't get into the whole drama and story and narrative, and yet, I can see now that I would have been better served by just stepping away. As Regina has said, you know, she just doesn't speak when she's in her wrong mind. She just doesn't. She just doesn't communicate, and she just stops. Ever since I've heard that advice, I've really been able many, many times to follow it. So this is just, it was just interesting that this is one of those times where it just did not feel available as an option. The autopilot was just overriding. So it's good to have the guidance to journal, because then I can get clear about this. So again, it says, again, guidance was offered to step away and take some breaths, but you listened to the thought in your head, which said, you might as well nail this down now. Just keep texting until it's over and you have a plan. You were aware of the feelings of sadness, rejection, dis-ease, but you gave your believing attention to continuing to communicate. This is neither right nor wrong. The only question is, was it in service to your real goal? Your spiritual aspiration, your true desire, your intention. The answer can always be yes if you use it, look at it, learn from it, and that is what you are doing. So this was very nice, because I was immediately feeling bad that I had to continue to communicate, even though I had the guidance to just step away. So it seems like this is as gentle and loving as it gets. You know, you were aware of the feelings of sadness, rejection, and disease, but you gave your believing attention to continue to communicate. This is neither right nor wrong. And I get that. The only question is, was it in service to my real goal, my spiritual aspiration, my true desire, my intent, or not? And the answer can always be yes if I use it and look at it, learn from it, and that is what you are doing now. Allowing yourself to feel the feelings, naming them, and being gentle with yourself is the way that is helpful. As you so often say, spirit cannot take from you that which you don't offer up, that which you aren't willing to release. And you cannot release that which you don't see. You saw this. You allowed it, and you brought it to me. Your willingness to allow this very, very sticky and tender part of your false self, being a mother, to be seen for what it is the epitome of wholehearted willingness. What does spirit know? That what you are is spirit. What does mind forget? That what you are is spirit. What are you asking to remember? That. You are that. You are full and complete. You are that awareness of spirit, of wholeness, of light, of peace. Again, one of your favorite lines from NTI is applicable now as it is always. Peace is within you because you are within peace. When you are in touch with what you really are, you cannot not know peace. When I ask you now, what I ask of you now is to reread slowly and gently our message to you on gratitude, and know that we are very, very grateful for you, for your wisdom, for your gentleness, and your trust. Please also reread our message to you on trust, for it will illuminate your path more fully, particularly at this moment of openness and faith. So that was also super helpful because I don't know about you, but I sometimes journal these things and I don't even go back and reread them once, or maybe I will on Wednesdays when I share. But so I did. I went back and reread on gratitude, which and then all the ones on trust. So maybe what I will do is maybe what I'll do is reread that now, because it fits with that. And the message I got on gratitude was on day 212, and this was the thought of awakening. Gratitude is a gift. So I just said that, right? Did I? okay, what I'm about to read is the thought of awakening on day 212. Gratitude is a gift. It is the natural extension of love. To love is to extend, and to be grateful is to love. Gratitude extends. It increases. This is what it does. So gratitude is your extension of yourself within all of that which you are. And I contemplated that on that day. And this is what came. And I shared this Wednesday, but I will read this again now. So this is inner wisdom. Gratitude is the great multiplier. It is a gift that every living being has been given. Inside all of us lies an infinite supply. Moreover, it is self-sustaining in its source. That is, the more gratitude that is fed to the mind, the more the creative process feasts and reproduces gratitude in one's direct experience. It is, in essence, the fountain of life itself. For life, life's essence, life's currency is love. And gratitude is love expressed. Gratitude is the very act of manifesting love. Look no further than your always available ability to generate gratitude, and hence experience gratitude, to raise your vibration in every moment you choose to remember. Gratitude is also the great sustainer, for it gives not just to its source, yourself, but to every living thing, as it is the very act of declaring that life is love and love is all. Practice gratitude, and you bathe in the holy elixir of life, of joy, of abundance, of wholeness. For when you claim your gratitude, you affirm your oneness with all things manifest and yet unmanifest. There is no greater act of kindness, of extension, of love. And it was very helpful to go back right then and read that. And by the time I read that, it was, you know, it's one of those times where it's just, this stuff is just like magic, you know, it just loosened right up. It just loosened right up. So Then I went on and read the next day, which is day 213, the message on gratitude that day, which is shorter, but I'll share that as well if I could. So this is inner wisdom. Do not search your mind for what you are to be grateful for. So that's the line also that started the thought of awakening that day, but somehow that's the line that also started with inner wisdom with me. So I'll start again. Do not search your mind for what you are to be grateful for. Be still and feel into your heart. Open to that stream of knowledge, that font of wisdom. Your heart rests in gratitude, beats in unison with gratitude's essence, which is the life force that you are. So let me read that again. Your heart rests in gratitude, beats in unison with gratitude's essence, which is the life force you are. Every living being pulses with gratitude because gratitude is love in form, life in action, the great endless movement of energy that creates worlds and galaxies upon galaxies. Rest in your awareness of that pulse, that love, that force of nature which propels you forward into your own individualized extension of love. Your essence is love, and your essential life force energy is the extension of that love. It is, after all, very, very simple. Your spiritual aspiration is a pure statement of fact, of what is, of your and all living beings' essential isness, love. So rest in your heart, for it is the very embodiment of gratitude, of life, of me. And Cindy writes, just look around. There is always something to be grateful for. If not, be grateful for your breath. Yeah. The idea that every time we breathe in, every one of our cells, I learned at services this morning that we have 30 trillion cells. So 30 trillion cells are nourished with the oxygen we breathe in. Every single time, every single cell gets a little bit of that oxygen. And if that's not a miracle, I don't know what is. So there's also a message on, it also referenced that I would read a message on, reread the message on trust, which I will do right now. Trust, okay. So this was day 216, and the thought of awakening was, when you free fall, you can only observe. You have no control. If you feel fear, free fall into that. Observe fear and let it be. When you are trying to change, you are not free falling. You are clinging. Let it be. Free fall into freedom. Inner wisdom was my question. What can I do to integrate this practice more deeply? This is what was written. Your willingness to sustain the trust necessary to truly free fall is manifest. Your trust is your way. Everything you do, which nourishes and strengthens your trust, will likewise deepen your willingness and hence ability to let go into this process of free falling. To know thyself, you must trust thyself. This is furthered by remaining vigilant about watching the thoughts in the mind. You accept you are the creative principle, that you are both creator and creation. So what follows is that you must be watchful for what you are desiring. You can easily ascertain what you are truly desiring by what you are experiencing. Are you experiencing gentle gratitude? Are you experiencing kindness and an easygoing acceptance of life as it is presenting itself? Are you experiencing love? If yes, give thanks for your true desire. Give thanks for your willingness to create all of this. And most of all, give thanks that your trust in yourself is growing by leaps and bounds. Stay centered in your loving kindness towards yourself. Remain vigilant that your gentleness extends to all from that which you are constantly giving yourself. You are the source. You are the desire to make it so, and you are the love from which it all flows. Honor that, respect that, trust that. So that was the first message on trust. And the line that stays with me is to know thyself. You must trust thyself. This is the second message on trust, which I was to reread that evening, which I did. That was from day 218, and this was the thought of awakening that preceded that contemplation. The willingness to do nothing is the willingness to let go of control. Let this be first. Let movement follow. So this is what came. Again, we are looking at the inner workings of trust, which I don't know about you, but when I read this, the willingness to do nothing is the willingness to let go of control. This must let this be first. Let movement follow. That wasn't striking me as trust. I thought that was all going to be about allowing, same concept, basic idea, but just a different tact. So I was surprised when the first line was, again, we are looking at the inner workings of trust. So it goes on, the willingness to do nothing sounds deceivingly simple. It almost feels natural for you at this stage. What you often overlook, though, is that this is merely the first step. Trust also requires commitment to allowing the movement to follow. Letting go must occur first to be sure, but the purpose of letting go is to allow space, allow you to center yourself so you can hear my guidance. Trust requires that you attend to the listening with the same naturalness, in quote, as you do the letting go. I've gotten very good at letting go. And what I do, though, is I just let it all go, and then that's the end of it. So with the naturalness, in quotes, is just kind of funny. Trust requires that you attend to the listening, that is listening for guidance and then doing it, with the same naturalness as you do the letting go. It continues, but the paramount aspect of trust for you at this time is the third step, the movement. Follow through is the actual test of trust. It's so great. I really appreciate the fact that inner wisdom tells me exactly what it is I am avoiding hearing and reading. I would never have read that thought of awakening and thought it's all about getting it done, because it's not. And yet, I just really appreciate this. So follow through is the actual test of trust. It is where the practice becomes practical, becomes manifest, becomes action. Put your heart into this third and final step, and you will know a very, very deep peace. This has often eluded you as you stall out on step one. It is time to follow through. It is time to take steps, albeit one at a time, but steadily. So that was the first, that was the second message of trust. So those were two trust messages, which is really great, because what I realize is a lot of times I'll there'll be all different things to get done, and clearly I don't want to do them. I mean, the little Anne, little personality is like, I got a big case of the I don't want us. And so what I will do is I will use spiritual practice. Like, I clearly need to go meditate now. Like, there's never a time to meditate, like when dishes have to be done or something. But I realize that it's just, while that's lovely to meditate and it's never a bad thing, if I'm using it to avoid following through and taking action, moving into the movement, not for movement's sake, but because I'm clearly guided to now get this done. If I'm using spiritual practice just to avoid it, well, that's there's no spirit and there's no practice, right? It's just another distraction. So this was very helpful to hear and to kind of get that right where I needed to hear it. So what I will do is, so those are the two messages on gratitude, two messages on trust, which followed the day I was having the harder time. And I will tell you that that evening we had a birthday party for two real good friends of mine, and like, you know, 10 or 12 of us got together and we made a plan to meditate at this meditation center behind my house for an hour. And then we all went to dinner, and Reverend Carol came, our founding minister at Center for Conscious Living. And so, you know, I got that text message was probably about 3 or 4 in the afternoon with my son. And by the time I went over to the meditation center at 6:30, I was at peace. I wasn't just feeling a little better. I was really at peace. It's just such a gift to just to have been present and have this great meditation, have this great dinner. And, you know, it went from walking the dog in the afternoon thinking this is all just a bunch of hooey to really opening up and allowing it to be just like it was and moving through it. That I was just so grateful to be able to be present just for that evening, because that evening itself was just such a blessing to be with everyone and to, you know, and to know that these things can just move through. They don't have to mean anything, and they don't have to, you know, I don't have to give it the believing attention. So it was lovely. It was a lovely soft landing. Not that it always has to work that way to be worth pursuing, but it is nice when there's that immediate reinforcement that within a couple hours you're back to your old self. So let me move to Friday, day 220. The thought of awakening I will read. Your mind is designed to distract you, to make you think and look away from what is. This is why the mind is the great storyteller. It is like an illusionist that uses stories to keep you from seeing what is true. Beware of the illusionist's tricks. Look at them gently and without judgment, but do not forget what the tricks are for, and you will not be so willingly deceived by them. And I went into contemplation, and then this is what came. Let's begin again with your questions. What does spirit know? What does mind forget? What did mind just try to tell you? That it's true. You are an inadequate mom. Oh, okay. This was right. This is, so we're back to when my son texted me and said he's going to hang out with his other mom, not going to come around, and I'll see him in 4 days. See you later. So what did your mind try to tell you? That it's true you are an inadequate mom. That it's true you're somehow doing a lousy job. That Tom wanting to stay on through the weekend with Jen is proof of that. That you feel bad, sad, rejected, and ashamed. That you should focus on a myriad of comparisons to phantom parents and children who long to be together as often as possible, always and forever. That this should wreck your mood, your sense of well-being, your sense of self. What came next was yes, and two exclamation points. Yes, you are correct to focus on the last statement. So let me read that last paragraph again. This should wreck your mood, your sense of well-being, your sense of self. So it went on to say, yes, you are correct to focus on the last statement, because it really struck me. That this should wreck your sense of yourself, because you were identifying with the false self, the little personality you, the non-entity that is nowhere to be found when you have really sat and looked for them in your self-inquiry dyads. This is what the mind forgets, that you are both creator and creation, that you are the creative principle. You are creation, the very process of life. What does spirit know? That you are the caster of your attention and the breather inner of lifer. You decide what to give your believing attention to and breathe life into that which you give your consciousness over to. Turn to me, to your light, to your essence, and you will feel the now familiar gentle wash of peace pervading your body, your mind, and your heart. Stay here with me. Sit still and allow me to wash the tightness away. Allow me to remove the residue of belief from the past, from a time when you did not know to ask, what does spirit know? What does mind forget? From a time when you had no inkling that the answer was you. Again, that was super helpful. Super helpful to really see and identify all the thoughts in my mind with that story with my son, knowing I didn't have to buy into any of them, and sitting with the discomfort, this clingy feeling like somehow the hurt was mine, and it was odd. It's like I sensed this clinginess to the hurt. Like I could see how the hurt was an identity. And even though I don't think of wanting to feel hurt, I could see how there was that residue. I did used to think that was me. I did used to, every time there'd be we'd squabble about what house the kids should be in, I would make up a story that if they were not physically in my house, somehow I could not be happy, satisfied, whole, content, that there was some allegiance to this suffering idea that I missed them and my life should just wait till they come back. And I just bought into this whole story about that. And so while I clearly have, I'm sure, plenty to still let go of, it moves through quicker. I can see it faster. And there is no point at which I believe it 100%. And I guess that's the best news, is even when I feel it and it doesn't feel good, I don't believe it's true. And so that alone, I'm just inordinately grateful for. I'll share my commentary on awareness, which was on Saturday, that commentary, which I found that to be very helpful. I took a couple notes. Maybe I'll just start by reading those. Awareness is not judgment. Judgment says things must be a certain way, different from what they are. Hence the essence of duality, right, wrong, good, bad, worthy, unworthy. Judgment sets up a world of comparisons, joy versus sorrow, security versus suffering. Judgment defines what is good and what is pain. So you can't consistently be happy because you're navigating between these various definitions. The good news, all of that is illusion. The answer is The answer is the simple truth of awareness. Awareness is attention without judgment. I love that definition of awareness. Awareness is attention without judgment. Observation with curiosity, but without conclusion. Awareness is perpetual openness. The antithesis of judgment. Therefore, no suffering, pain, or guilt. Because when you have nothing to compare to, it is the comparison that then leads to the conclusion, that then leads to the suffering. If everything's on its own terms, if it's just perpetual openness, attention without judgment, it's just being with what is. So I contemplated that, and this is what came. Imagine, if you would, a world that was always bright and sparkling and teeming with life. Imagine that everything was made of life, of a substance at its core, which was pure and free and at ease with everything else. Imagine a world where everything was allowed to exist just as it was, never according to any other sense, any other how it should be, how it used to be, how it always is. Imagine that everything had its own unique way of being, and it was all allowed to occur in harmony with itself. What could get in the way of peace? What could derail happiness? What could disrupt the acceptance of everything just as it was in every moment? What could there be not to love? The answer? Nothing. Not one thing. No thing. The answer? This is the real world. This is the actual state of nature, of life, of reality. The only thing that could see the situation any differently is your own mind. More specifically, the only way you could experience reality differently than what it is if you saw a thought in your mind that something, anything, should be different, and then you gave your believing attention to that thought. Such a thought would have to have your endorsement, your consent, your acquiescence, for you to have an experience other than quiet and abiding contentment. Your mission, therefore, is to stay vigilant with respect to the peace you feel. When you become aware of a stab against that peace, rejoice that I have brought it to your awareness, yet another opportunity to heal. Welcome the connection. Allow the thought. Look at it and gently release it. Know that there is no greater service you can perform for your healing than to welcome the awareness of the errant belief and allow it to be seen for what it is. Then and only then can you turn the thought over to me. Send it up to the ethers to be dissolved as the mirage it truly is. Claim your peace by remaining joined with your awareness of the thought. Resist any urge to follow similar thoughts, which will surely come to reinforce the illusory perception. Allow it all into your awareness, but not into your believing attention. You are the one and only caster of your attention. You are the only one who decides what is truth and what is familiar illusion. Remain focused on your awareness, that which allows all, but believes no thing. I remind you again, peace is within you, because you are always within peace. So I see it is 8:58. And Craig is in the room, so I will. I appreciate the opportunity to share. I just gentle healing is such a gift, and being with all of you is you know, is what makes this come alive. So thank you. Thank you all. And I'm letting go of the mic.